Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it, but Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as we talk a summer transfer warning from David Ornstein. Kone heads out on loan, and the spin begins. Also, I want to talk about a big Man United player that I think is going to make sure we get Champions League football this next season. But look, we expected some of this, but we probably didn't expect this coming in from David Ornstein this morning, basically saying and warning that the crazy summer that's been promised may not be as crazy as some expect. So David Ornstein saying this: United's summer transfer window may not be as crazy as some expect. The club has plenty to address. Central midfield is the top priority, especially after Casemiro's confirmed departure, with leading links still being Elliot Anderson, Adam Wharton and Belaba. Left-sided attacking roles are also in focus after missing out on Semenyo, with Rashford and Sancho to leave. Defensively, Harry Maguire's future is uncertain. This is his option year. He's due to leave with no new contract news, and central defence remains a key area. Plus, there's the new head coach. Potentially Carrick or someone will be the big story of 2026. Early signs under Carrick have sparked hope among fans and those at the club. However, as always, actions will speak louder than words. So look, the big line is United's summer transfer window may not be as crazy as some expect. I'm going to shout out an account on X here because I think it encapsulates much of what I would say in a couple of paragraphs. United do this every year now. During January, they brief that it's going to be a big summer and exaggerate claims to excite the fans and distract them from an awful January. When the window closes and February comes, they cool it down and start talking about lowering expectations. Well, look, I literally said it last night, literally said it all month. And many of you are on board with that. But we still have people in our fan base that, I don't know. I mean, I hear things, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's any integrity, really, in a lot of what people are saying to you. I think they're doing it for selfish reasons. Maybe they're getting offers of things from the club. I don't know. You know, I couldn't give a toss about that. I don't believe the people running the club are the right people to run the club. So I don't want promises from them people. But this does happen every year. It's absolutely spot on and it's right to be called out. All through January, when we did nothing, we're going to go big. The minute the window closes, one of the most respectable journalists in the game says it might not be the crazy summer people expect. That's February the 1st. We've got 4 months of this now for those expectations to get lowered and lowered. So look, Michael Carrick's doing a great job. The players are doing a great job, but you can differentiate between the great job they're doing and the shit job the owners are doing. And this is it. What I said last night, on what grounds do you think we're going to have a big summer? Like, there's people talking about, oh, I'm glad we didn't do anything in January because then we can go big in the summer. Based on what? Trust me, bro. That's all they've got for you. Lies, lies, lies as well. Everything they've told you to trust them on, they've lied about. And look, it's no secret. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to a journalist about Elliot Anderson and said, look, we keep getting linked to Elliot Anderson all the time. Are we had any indication? Are we in any talks? Anything like that? What I was told is no, no, no. There's nothing from Forest's side that they want to talk to anybody. There's nothing from the player's side that he wants to come to Man United. And there's nothing from anybody about any agent going to United or sort it out for you. It's literally just United saying, we'd like Elliot Anderson. It's like walking into a pub stinking of shit and saying, I'd like to marry you. And then looking at you and going, great, you got no chance. I mean, I'm not saying we're in that situation, but we're certainly not getting the wink and the eye and a bit of whatever else. There is nothing going on. And I think it's an important thing to remember that we are not in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson. We are not in advanced talks with Adam Wharton. You are being spun by the ability of the club to just tell journalists that they're their priorities. It's like being out with your mates and going, one day I want to marry such and such from down the road. And everyone going, we got no chance. Yeah, but that's my ambition. And then everyone talks about it and goes, you know, he wants to marry her. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just talk. There's no firmness to it. There's no concrete talks going on. It's just United putting it out there that Elliot Anderson's the dream. Big clubs don't do that, by the way. Liverpool, Manchester City, Arsenal don't put it out there who their dream is. It's beggy. They don't do it. They keep it to themselves. Things might leak, but they don't... how many times have we read a story over the last 5 months that Elliot Anderson's our priority? Definitely David Ornstein, definitely Fabrizio Romano, definitely The Athletic, definitely Ben Jacobs, definitely the Manchester Evening News. I have heard so many times from so many journalists that Manchester United's priority is Elliot Anderson. So they've clearly been briefed. But are you in advanced talks? Has he said he's coming in the summer? Has he given you the nod? No, no, no. So we're basically living off fumes, really. And now we're starting to be told it might not be the crazy summer we promised you. I tell you, for me, I love to be wrong on this. Love to be wrong on this. My assessment of the situation is Belaba will be signed because it's easy and he's not playing in the World Cup. So they can take all of June signing Belaba. That will be the big signing. What will happen is, and I really hope I'm wrong, the window will close, we'll go for Belaba, we'll take about 2 months, and then we'll say, when that's out the way, we're going to go for another midfielder. That will be the end of July when the World Cup's over, and we will end up with something. Could be Elliot Anderson, could be João Gomes, could be Hayden Hackney. That's what'll happen. It'll be Belaba, the big story of the summer, and we'll take ages to do it. And then after the World Cup, we'll see what's available and we'll take something like Sesko, fifth or sixth choice, because all the other options will go elsewhere. I think that's what's going to happen. I also, and it's got nothing to do with Michael Carrick, he's doing a great job. I'm absolutely convinced they'll try and give it to Carrick because he'll be cheap. His staff will be cheap. He won't make any demands. He'll be desperate to take the job, quite rightly. And they can use Carrick as the Carrick's at the wheel man to keep them protected for 3 or 4 years to get them closer to the real quiz, which is the building of the stadium. They have got no ambition to win the Premier League or the Champions League at all. This is just about if they could fast forward 5 years, if they could nick Michael J. Fox's DeLorean and go forward 5 years to the building of the stadium, they'd do it. They've got no interest in the next 5 years at all, apart from surviving. And for them, I guarantee if you walked into that boardroom and said to Joel Glazer and Sir Jim Radcliffe, the stadium's built in 5 years, you can have it, but United need to finish fit. United are going to be mediocre for 5 years and finish fifth. They'll shake your hand off. They'll bite your hand off. They would. I don't think they've got any interest in being successful at the club. It's all about building that stadium. It's all about regenerating the area. It's all about doubling their money. These are selfish, mercenary business people proven over the last 20 years who are just trying to get their meal ticket. There's such a stark contrast on what you can do in the summer. You can get somebody like Luis Enrique, you can go big and you can try and compete with Man City and Arsenal, or you can go for somebody like De Zerbi, Carrick, Glasner, give them next to no money and say, try and get me fifth every year for the next 5 years while I build a stadium. It will be that second one. And if you're just tuning in, it is very concerning that a journalist with the credibility of someone like David Ornstein is saying it might not be the crazy summer United have spoken about on February the 3rd. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm not going to rant or anything like that. I just feel sorry for the people. I mean, I had a couple of comments last night saying you're so negative, moaning all the time. And I just laughed. I laughed. I went like, and there's the bot. I was laughing that last night after the show, somebody actually, if it wasn't a bot, described our show last night as negative and moaning. And that's our fault. It's our fault for being negative and moaning about the way the club's being run. Sorry, didn't realise I'd put it into £1 billion of debt, that we haven't qualified for the Champions League for over 50% of the last 12 years, that we're perennially shit and unambitious. I'm such a moaner. You know what? I was under the illusion that Manchester United was one of the biggest clubs in the world that's meant to fight for the title every year and be in the Champions League every year. Sorry for moaning about that. I'm so negative. But there are these morons in our fan base. But I don't think they're morons. I think they're bots. Or I think they're being promised stuff. Or I think they're being, if you do this, we need your help. Can you do this? We'll give you that. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I mean, there's one of our ex-players who gets interviews on the regular with the club who is the definition of toxic positivity. He never says anything bad about the Glazers or the ownership or transfers or anything like that. And he'll be screaming and shouting, give Carrick the job. The lads are doing well. We don't need any signings because he's getting something from the club, isn't he? And that's a personal thing. You make your choice. But look, it amazes me that people can't see what's happening. The day after the window closes, all the talk of a massive summer disappears because now they've got to spin for the next one and the next one. So what you do is, in the summer, when the summer window closes and you didn't get a midfielder, you know what? I was looking at some of the headlines in early September, right? There are journalists out there that wrote articles in the first week of September when the summer transfer window closed saying Man United would go for a midfielder in January. And then in January, those same journalists are talking about Man United going big in the summer. Have you figured it out yet? They spin the next one during the one they don't want to spend in. That's what they do. They've been doing it for years. The minute a window is closed, you talk about the next window. And then when that window comes along, oh, it's hard, but the next one we're going to go big. Look, even this morning, just to give you an example of this, because some people maybe aren't experienced in this world at all. Manchester United are set to prioritise a midfield overhaul this summer with plans to sign two players for the position, and the club is prepared to spend big to secure a marquee addition. While United will aim to strike the best deal possible, they acknowledge that landing a proven Premier League star may require a club record transfer fee. Elliot Anderson is viewed as the dream midfield target. So, you know, that's one. And I'm sure there was another one as well. I saw it this morning. Where was it? I know where it was. Let me just grab this. It was about a winger as well. Manchester United will look to sign a left winger this summer following the sale of Garnacho and Marcus Rashford. Leipzig's Yann Diamande is one player of early interest to the club for that position. What it leaves out is that the price tag is £80 million for Diamande, but that doesn't matter. Don't mention the price tag. I think I got away with it, but don't mention the price tag. So here we are after an absolute, and let's be clear here, that transfer window we've just had is the worst one I think we've had in a decade. I'd need to do some research, but last season was crap. Last January was crap, but we did sign Dorgu and we did loan out Rashford, Antony and Malacia. So it was a terrible January transfer window. We didn't get half of what we needed, but we did do something. There's been other transfer windows where we've loaned in Weghorst or Sabitzer or Regalo. We did nothing. When was the last time we did nothing in a January transfer window? So I would say, hello, Sir Jim. You're talking shit, mate. And factually, again, you are delivering in this first 2 years worse than it was under the Glazers. Wow, that's not very fair. Oh, no, hold on a minute, Sir Jim. Factually, the win ratio over the last 2 years is worse than the previous 2 years under the Glazers, yeah? We've not won anything. The debt's getting bigger. You've sacked two managers. You've wasted £500 million. And we've just had a January transfer window where we did nothing for the first time in years. Nothing. Didn't loan anyone in, didn't loan anyone out, didn't sign anyone, didn't sell anyone. Nothing. So, mate, it's factually it's factually getting worse, isn't it? But look, it is what it is. But as I said, here we are. The window is closed. You can say what you like without consequence. So we're going to go big in the summer. Well, we're not. No, they won't remember. We're going to go for Diamande in the summer. He's going to cost 80 million. We're definitely not. Yeah, they won't remember. At United, you just live today. Put some bullshit out today and they'll forget tomorrow. There's always some prats that will believe it. And we're not going to go for Diamande in the summer, are we? It's going to cost 80 million quid. We're not going to do that. I don't know. But look, fair play to David Ornstein for putting it out there that it might not be the crazy summer Man United fans are expecting. And I would say on that, it's not the crazy summer Man United fans are expecting. We don't expect much. It's the crazy summer the club have been leaking for the last 4 weeks. No Man United fan would walk around going off their own back, we're going to have a crazy summer this summer. Nobody would do that. Not unless they've been in a coma for 20 years. No Man United fan with any knowledge of this football club's going to walk around going, pushing Liverpool fans going over, going, half a billion, kiss my arse, we're going to do 600. We're only talking about a crazy summer transfer window because the club have been leaking it for the last 4 weeks. And as David Ornstein said himself, actions speak louder than words. There's a lot that needs to be done at that football club, but actions will speak louder than words. As I say, Belaba will sign for Man United, not because he's the best option, because he's the easiest option who wants to sign for us. And United at the moment obsess about players that are obsessed with signing for United. So Belaba only wants to sign for us. So we'll be like, oh, this is the right player for us. That doesn't make him the right player. Just because he wants to come to Man United and no one else wants him, that doesn't make him the right player. I think we all know who the right players are. Whether we can go and get them or not, I don't know. Look, Anderson and Stiller for me are the two. I'd be surprised if we got one. Watchers miss out on the targets mentioned and sign Goretzka on a free, says Exo. Does protesting against these owners really work, says Amit? Well, it does work because it shows an expression. It's something, and something is better than nothing. Whether it will, I think what you're saying is, will it get them out of the club? Well, nothing will get them out of the club, will it? I mean, protesting won't get them out of the club, but it shows that people have had enough.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The only way you get the Glazers out of this football club is getting games cancelled and hitting them in the pocket, which nobody's willing to do that because it's difficult and it takes organisation and it takes money and there isn't actually a viable option. People can protest. The whole fan base can empty Old Trafford. I saw somebody saying the other day, well, it's the 75,000 twats who go into the stadium that are causing this. And I thought, hold on a minute. There's a multitude of reasons why it is nothing to do with the 75,000 fans who go into the ground and pay money to watch Manchester United. And on that, you should see the bloody prices they're having to pay at the moment. Hospitality prices are going up at Manchester United. So they're rinsing fans at the moment. But also, even if we emptied Old Trafford for the next home game against Spurs, the tickets have already been bought. It wouldn't do anything. It would be a big news story, but it wouldn't do anything because there's no viable option. There's no alternative. We fans aren't buying the club. So protests and everything are great. Emptying the stadium would be very interesting, but it won't get them out because there is no alternative. There's nobody out there at the moment saying, here's 6 billion, we want to buy the club, let's force them out. Here's a few hundred grand to the fan groups, let's get them out. That's the way to get them out. There isn't an alternative. We as fans, we're completely useless because we can't buy the club. It was said a few weeks ago, and it's absolutely true. Somebody needs to step forward with the stance of the fans and the money to buy the club and say, right, let's get them out. Let's work together to get them out. We're going to fund the fan groups. We're going to get these people out and we're going to get our club back. But no one's done that. Even Qatar didn't do that. It was all nicey-nicey, deal with the Glazers. Nah, the best way to get them out is have somebody who's got the money, who works with the fans to get them out and says, look, when we come in, we're going to lower the debt. We're going to build the club. Let's get them out. But you need an organisation with the money to do that who works with the fans. You can't work with the Glazers. The Glazers mugged Qatar off. Oh, yeah, we're thinking about selling. Sir Jim. So you can't speak to the Glazers. They need forcing out. And this has happened at multiple clubs. It's like overthrowing the government, isn't it? There needs to be an alternative that the people get behind. We've never had that. And I don't think we ever will. Kony, literally our answer for midfield. Hope it's not true. Right, this is a big good story from Class of 99. So Kone is leaving Manchester United to go out on loan to Lausanne. Sekou Kone has joined Ineos-owned Lausanne Sport on loan until the end of the season. We knew this was coming. I'm baffled by this. I've got to say, I'm absolutely baffled by this. I think it's sadly another indication of the idiocy of the people running our football club. I'm sorry if I'm you know he's 20 now as well. He's 20. I thought he was like 17. He's 20 years of age. He's turned 20 today. So I don't know where those years went. I thought we signed him at 17 years of age. So he's 20 today. And he's going on loan to the Swiss league in a shit side. I despair. Thanks, Class of 99, for reminding me. I like King Walker says, why not the championship? I just don't get this at all. I mean, I would say at this point, the chances of Kone becoming a Man United first team player, percentage wise, has just plummeted. Because at 20 years of age, if you're going to play in the Swiss league at 20, think of all the French players, Swiss players, Austrian players, German players, what they're doing at 20. You're not playing in the Swiss league on loan. It's mad. It's wild. It's incredible. And if I'm Jason Wilcox and that's being offered up, I'm going, hold on a minute. This is a guy that's meant to be a solution for our midfield. What the fuck's he doing in the Swiss league at 20 years of age? He needs to be in the championship. We play in the Premier League. He needs to be playing in the championship. At bare minimum, the Bundesliga. But it's the Bundesliga or the Champions League championship. Because they're the only two leagues that are anything like the Premier League in relation to intensity. The Swiss league? Fucking hell, it's a Poundland French league. It's madness. It's madness. Absolute madness. And sending him to India. It's like, you know what it is? It scares me how incompetent we are, right? What we've done here is, you know, Anselmino, the Argentinian centre-back that we got linked to that Chelsea bought. Teenager, meant to be the next big thing. Anselmino. He's just spent the first half of the season on loan at Dortmund and done very, very well in the Bundesliga, right? They've recalled him back in January and now they've sent him to Strasbourg in the French league. Well, Chelsea owns Strasbourg. So who's obsessed with Chelsea? Sir Jim. Oh, let's get Kone off to Lausanne because, you know like what Chelsea are doing with Strasbourg. Let's do it with Lausanne, yeah? We've even got a fucking French club. It's called Nice, but no, they he's fucked that up. So send him to... Mate, Strasbourg playing in the French league is very different to your shitty club in Switzerland that you've ruined. Like, it's disappointing because I thought Kone might be a player. He might be one of these young players that actually breaks through. But that's absolutely terrible career management to send a 20-year-old to Switzerland. Oh, look, Switzerland's a lovely country. And all respect to Lazorne, I don't know much about you, but he shouldn't be going to there. He shouldn't be going there. You don't think we'll spend £200 million in the summer, says Robert. I do think we'll spend £200 million in the summer, Robert. But listen to what David Ornstein said. The crazy summer some Man United fans are predicting isn't necessarily going to happen. £200 million isn't a crazy summer, Robert. How much did Chelsea spend last summer? How much did Man City spend last summer? How much did Liverpool spend last summer? How much did Arsenal spend last summer? You're talking close to £400 million. £200 million doesn't actually go far for what we need. We need two midfielders. We probably need two fullbacks. We need a winger. We need another centre-back. We need another striker. We may need a goalkeeper. So £200 million is not what I would describe as a crazy summer. I think it would. I think we will spend £200 million, but I don't think it will go far. Really don't. I think £200 million is, well, what did Newcastle spend last summer? What did Villa spend? Like, I don't think £200 million goes very far. It's three players, isn't it? Like Black Moustache says. So, no, I wouldn't describe that as crazy. Robert, please don't tell me you're a Glazerite. You are many things, and I know you've got Mason Mount pictures on your wall, but please don't tell me you're still believing in this ownership, because I would have thought better of you than that. I would. Not having a big TW equals kneecapping manager, be it Carrick or other. We know incomings need to replace players getting old, injury-prone or not good enough. Owners can constantly shooting club in the foot, says Big Z. I think my concern is that you give the job to someone like Michael Carrick or Glasner or De Zerbi, and that's the expectation set. You almost feel sorry for the manager. It's almost like subverting the fan base by going, well, if they give it to Carrick and he doesn't get much money, what's he supposed to do? But he's such a nice, likeable guy. Oh, I know we've lost there and we finished fifth, but what's he supposed to do? That's what scares me, is that he might go down that road of, let's put a likeable guy in the job. Let's not really support him. But when we finish fifth, the fan base feels sorry for him, so nothing ever really changes. Hi, Mark. What you said the other day, if we lose Casemiro and Maguire, we lose a lot of aerial ability. Six aerial goals alone by them two and their aerial defence. This needs addressing, don't you think, says Christopher. I think the dominance of Casemiro and Harry Maguire in the air cannot be understated. I thought it was a very equal game against Fulham at the weekend, but set piece wise, we were causing them massive problems. And look, we've seen this season, it might not be pretty, Arsenal, but if you're good at set pieces, you tend to have a good season. And Maguire and Casemiro are very, very good at that. I just don't think you can replace that very easily unless you profile someone like that. So it is a good point. On a positive, I just wanted to say this about Cunha. I wanted Cunha way before we even got linked to him. I remember talking about him about a year before we bought him and saying, I just think Cunha would be a really good player at Man United. He's got that Man United player feel. I think what we're seeing with Cunha at the moment is something really exciting. I think Cunha could get us the Champions League. You know, like last season, he kept Wolves up. There's something about Cunha from January till the end of the season that's just really special. Not that he's not a good player before that, but last season with Wolves, he basically kept them up. He's got this ability in a game where the team might not be doing much, where he can just go bang, bang. And we've seen it in the last 3 weeks. He's scored key goals, like the winner against Arsenal. The second goal against Fulham is the killer goal. Even though it's not the winner, it gets us in a position where, imagine if we'd been 1-0 up against Fulham. I think that we were going to struggle. At 1-0 up, I think we were going to struggle. We didn't really do anything in the second half apart from the Cunha goal. So that goal was big. Obviously, he made a difference against City as well. I just think he's in that Wolves frame of mind at the moment. And as long as Cunha stays fit, I reckon we might play badly at West Ham, but win because of Cunha. We might go to Newcastle and play badly, but win because of Cunha. I think it's like Bruno in a way. Like, Bruno can have a bad game, but get two assists. And I think we're starting to see the importance of Cunha, because, you know, at the weekend, I like this. I was having a conversation yesterday about Bruno or Declan Rice. It's out next week. I was doing this show yesterday where it's like either ors. I wonder why they asked me to do that, either ors. Anyway, but the point is, one of them was Declan Rice or Bruno. And a lot of people went with Declan Rice and I went with Bruno. And they were like, they were talking about consistency and this, that, and the other. And I went, Bruno Fernandes has got the most assists in the Premier League this year. And he's got the most assists in the Premier League across the last 5 years. You can't buy that. Look, Bruno against Fulham, some people were saying he was playing shit. Got two assists. The game finishes 3-2. I know it's a bit of a head fuck sometimes and Ricky can't deal with it, but you win the game 3-2 and Bruno gets two assists, but he had a bad game. That can't be right. And it's the same with Cunha. Some people at the weekend said Cunha had a bad game against Fulham. And I'm like, but only he can score that goal. And if we don't score that goal, we don't win that game. Like, you can have players in your team that don't play well for the 90 minutes, but deliver the big moments. You can carry those types of players. And you're not carrying them in the sense that they don't track back and they don't work hard, because Bruno and Cunha do work hard and they do press. But they might not be, you know, they might misplace a few passes. They might go quiet for 20 minutes. But the difference between like a Mason Mount having a bad game is he won't produce anything. But if Cunha or Bruno have a quiet game, they'll produce something. And that's why when you look at Premier League goals and Premier League assists, if they're there, they're worth their weight in gold. Because not everybody is there. Like, there's a number 10 playing for Brentford who plays well every week, but he hasn't got as many assists as Bruno. I'm not big on stats, but those goals and assists are worth their weight in gold. And I'm telling you, over the next few weeks, I just feel like Cunha's in the Wolves form from last year, where he could literally carry this team to the Champions League. I'm not saying it's all on him, but I just feel like he's going to start scoring. Well, he already is. He's going to start scoring these goals out of nothing. Like that Fulham goal, he shouldn't score that goal. Leno's in a really good position. If he goes across Leno, I think he's got it covered. And if he doesn't hit it as well on the front post, I think Leno's got it covered. It's just brilliant. And obviously the Arsenal goal was brilliant. And Cunha's scoring these goals now, which is exactly why I wanted him at the club. And it must be so frustrating for opposition fans, because you're like, we've played really well there and he's just scored a worldie. But that's why we beat Fulham. They haven't got Cunha. We have. It's that quality that's the difference. So I'm excited about Cunha at the moment. Hi, Mark. What you said the other day, I've done that about Casemiro. Thank you, Christopher, for your super chat. Are any of Anderson, Belabor or Wharton a direct replacement for Casemiro, says Dirty Deeds? Well, it's interesting. I think this is a great question as well, because there's been this conversation about the midfielder that we're going to sign, that they want an energetic midfielder that can get up and down the pitch, and then they want a specialist holding midfielder that can conduct, of which Anderson isn't. Wharton isn't, and Belabor isn't. Wharton, Anderson and Belabor are more Mainoo role than Casemiro. Like, Anderson is the definition of a box-to-box, as is Adam Wharton, as is Belabor. So none of those players are actually a Casemiro replacement. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because this is where I think we're being spun again. A lot of people are going Anderson and Belabor, but if you had Anderson, Belabor and Mainoo, not one of them is actually a sitter. Now, you might be able to turn one into a sitter, but they're not. Actually, they're not. So, I don't know. The way I feel is is that we have been spun for the last 5 months and the last 4 weeks, and I think they've done it so that they could get through a January transfer window without buying anybody. I mean, look, if you owe somebody money, right, and they knock on your door on January the 1st and say, give me your money or I'm going to break your legs. HSBC's gone downhill, hasn't it? But no, like, you've lent it to somebody you shouldn't have done, right? And on Monday, January the 1st, they're there with the hammer and they're saying, where's the money? You said you'd have the money today. And you go, put the hammer away. I'm telling you now, I've just got to sort a few things out. I've got big things going on in the summer. Big things going on in the summer. Ask them, ask them. They'll tell you it's true. And if I'm doing big things in the summer, I'm going to get you this money. Don't you worry about it, right? And basically, they come back the next week and you just fob them off, fob them off, fob them off. And before you know it, you've made it to the summer and then you can give them the money back. But they wanted that money on the January the 1st. So this is what I mean. It's not quite the same because we're talking about 1 month and how long can you keep someone away with a hammer? But ultimately, that's what Ineos and the Glazers have done. They've just spoken about something in the future to distract for the now. And now the window's closed.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Mark. Not being funny, but with Wilcox running transfers, what fifth or sixth choice players will we get? No guarantees we'll get anyone except Belaba, but we need more and we need better, says Mike. Well, I think that's what we were talking about there. Belaba, I'm 95% we're going to get. I don't think we should, but I'll give him a chance, but 95%, because it's not even a transfer. You can't give Wilcox credit for Belaba. I mean, he's begging to come to Man United for 12 months. So, I mean, it's just easy, isn't it? And he's not going to play in the World Cup. So all you've got to do is negotiate with Brighton, and Brighton will do a deal. So beyond Belaba, I don't know where we'll go next. January transfer window is about necessity and opportunity. We should have bought Quinton Timber and Luckman for under 35 million combined, says Samo. Garfield's gifted a membership. You're a legend, sir. So's Daniel Thompson. Thank you very much. And what would you say are three non-negotiables for the summer transfer window, says Kyle? Well, I'm not saying three, because I'm not a Glazerite. There isn't three. There's six. There's not. I'm not having three. Talking about three dilutes yourself down to giving in. There's not three non-negotiables. We need two midfielders, so that's two things. We 100% need a left back now because Luke Shaw's not up to it, and Dorgu, I think, should be, you know, given the freedom to play further up the pitch. We're going to need another striker. That's four. We're going to need a goalkeeper as well, because Lemon's on his own. If anything happens to him, we need a goalkeeper, so that's five. And we need a winger as well, so that's six. And that's without knowing what's going to happen with Bruno as well. So I think there's six non-negotiables there that have to happen, especially if we're going to... And also, if we're in the Champions League, let's not forget, I need a bench. And, I do need a couple of players that maybe don't go straight into the first team. So maybe I need three midfielders. Maybe I need two wingers. Like, this is just first team stuff. What we've learned this season and last season is you don't build an 11, you build an 18. And yeah, I think we need a massive summer transfer window. We need between 6 and 10 players, really. Whatever happens, whether it's Michael Carrick, whether it's Luis Enrique, whether it's Champions League, whether it's Europa League, next season is going to be another transitional season. I don't know whether many people have realised that. Like, next season's another transitional. The excuse is there already. They're not going to deliver the summer transfer window that sends us into next season where we go, right, let's go for it. Like, you know it and I know it. There's no way next season we're starting the season with a squad that we go, let's go for it. We're going to be in a season where we go, can we deal with this? Can we deal with European football and getting into the top five again? Have we got the squad for it? Oh, it could be a tough one. No summer activity is going to change that. Mike JW, hope you're doing well, pal. He says, as we have not invested again, let's be honest, we don't just need to qualify. We need quality too and quantity. For the next extra matches next season, we need depth. Well, literally, I haven't read that, Mike, but it's literally what I was just sort of talking about. So, yeah, absolutely spot on. Forza, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you. We need to keep winning as well. Like, I know there's not a lot of point in talking about what we spoke about last night. The gamble this ownership have taken, the injuries to the midfield that could decimate the season. We just got to probably not talk about that now, because talking about it almost makes it happen. We need to get through the rest of the season without any injuries and get Champions League football. I'm looking at games now and I'm like, what a result at the weekend, but what a result at the weekend. I mean, I heard a couple of people saying, lucky, who gives a shit? Like, that 3 points over the I mean, look, Fulham played really well. On a different day, they might have got a point, but oh my God, the fact that we got those 3 points, I don't care. Even if it was lucky, which I don't think it was. It was entertaining. We deserved it. It was a good game. But if somebody said, you know, Spurs deserve to win on Saturday, but you win, thank you. West Ham deserve to beat you, but you win, thank you. I don't care how we get the points now. It's about getting the points. It's so important that we are in Europe next year. Like, I mean, we just... I mean, part of me sometimes think, are they asset stripping the club? Because their behaviour is strange. Like, if you think about what they've done over the last 2 years, sacking off the staff, wasting money on managers, not backing the manager in January, taking risks. I think it would be horrific not to be in Europe next season for the fans. But, like, I sometimes do think, well, is this part of the plan? I don't know. But, no, I don't care how we win. We just have to win. How much spin will we get during the summer, says Laura. I think we'll start to get the conversation over the next... Well, we've already got it from David Ornstein this morning, but I think we will start to get it now from the Whitwells, the Duckers, the Stones, the MENs. I think we will start to get the normal FFP, PSR bollocks at some point. Maybe not till March, but we'll definitely get it. Yeah, like that person said on X this morning... All through January every year, we're going to go big in the summer. As soon as January's over, oh, it might not be as big. And then by about March, April, you start getting talk about FFP and PSR and not, you know, having to be compliant. And this, it will happen again. There is a cycle and it's very repetitive. Don't forget as well, like I know nobody will forget, but this week is very important to this football club as well. The anniversary of the Munich tragedy and what this football club's all about. So look, it feels like sometimes this ownership doesn't get what this club's all about, but credit to you and the fans of this club, we always do. And it's always a big day in this fan base, and it's something that, you know, will never be forggotten either. So remember that whatever happens, we'll always have what this club means to us, regardless of what this dictatorship does to us. Ljunglund would be a Casemiro replacement, Amrim or not. His positioning, ball recovering and passing are solid. He's also a leader and sporting captain, says One Inch Wonder. I think Ljunglund under Amrim was a possibility. I think there's no chance now. Because he was on the recommendation for Amrim. And as we know with Ranić recommended about 10 players, all of which are now tearing it apart around Europe. I'm thinking about people like Alvarez, Enzo Fernandez, Vardiel, all very gettable when Ranić gave us the list, and all tearing it up at different clubs now. United ripped that list up when Ranić left. So I would imagine they've done the same with anything that was suggested by Amrim. We can't be in transition season if we make Champions League, says Big Z. I think we will be. Look at Newcastle. I think we will be in transition. If you haven't got the squad, you're in transition in the Champions League because you're trying to adjust to being in the Champions League and staying in the Champions League through the Premier League. So we will be in transition because we won't be ready for that. Casemiro type player is so critical, says Pengers. He helps Mainu play his best. No surprise the limited times Amrin brought Mainu on. He was joining Ugarte and was thrown into a chaos midfield, says Pengers. Yeah, I mean, look, the whole Mainu Amrin thing is valid. I wanted to see Mainu play more. However, there is a very good counter argument, and I think you've made it there. When you're playing a midfield three, which we do now, Mainu starts because it's Casemiro, Bruno, and Mainu or Ugarte. So Mainu starts. When you're playing a midfield two, and you've got Casemiro and Bruno, you've got to drop one of them for Mainu if you're not going to play Bruno as a 10, which is what I wanted Amrin to do. So the issue was that Amrin didn't see Mainu as a 6, which many of you don't, and he felt that Bruno was better in that position than Mainu, which I disagree with, but some people say, well, look at all the assists. But look, we can't look back. We've got to look forward, and it's great to see Mainu in the midfield three. The debt interest payments are only going up. If we miss out on Europe, the summer transfer windows are next. Prepare for freebies and loans, says Free Immortal. And anyone who watches Belaba regularly knows he lacks the defensive and positional awareness to replace Casemiro. Carrick understands that role better than anyone. He would never want Belaba as a replacement, says Goldfridge. Whether he does or he doesn't, he won't have the power to stop it if he's the manager, because he doesn't have a veto. We will use Collier for Casemiro, give Bruno a new contract, and then just sign Belaba, says Mark Fudge. Well, we can't use Toby Collier as Casemiro's replacement. And I like Toby Collier, but we can't. He's always getting injured. He's never really played in the Premier League. He can't be a Casemiro replacement. I heard a catchy song, maybe not your cup of tea, by a guy called Sage. It goes, Cunha Bruno, Patrick Dorgu, Brian Mbeumo. Says Big C. I've got no idea what the context of the rhythm is, but there we go. 6 months out from no value in the market, says Pete Phillips. That's definitely coming, mate. Keel Robinson says, Dorgu, Leon, Kone, Obi, Malacia. We will be our summer signings. Send them on loan now. Promote them to the first team in the summer. Bootleg football. Thank you, Keel. I think Tonali is a better option than those we are linked with, says Gogo. I mean, look, this is a good point. The Tonali news yesterday for going to Villa was quite interesting. Tonali actually is a holding midfielder. Like, Tonali would work better than Wharton, Belaba and Anderson in the six. But I don't think we'll do that. What about Nusa? Is better player than Diamande, says Payer. I don't know that he's a better player than Diamande. I mean, he plays off the left. I like Nusa, but I've never heard any United go be linked to him. But I do like Nusa. Should not be looking at a manager until Glinios out. Ownership cannot support a new manager. Carrick will get results now. New manager will struggle, says Danny. And Robert McCormack says, I'm behind Ineos for now. Much different to the Glazers. Robert, I've got to say, if we were having that pint now, I'd put the pint down and walk out and say you've disappointed me. I mean, look, I'll respect it because I respect you, but I don't know how you can be behind Ineos. I don't know. I will say this to your face now. The Glazers are worse than Ineos, you're right. I think Ineos have done worse than the Glazers in the last 2 years, but the Glazers have destroyed this club over 20 years. So you are right. But how you can be behind Ineos, I'll never know, because everything Sir Jim Ratcliffe has said, he's gone back on. So you can't trust them. It's blind faith. It's trust me, bro. Like, I can literally list off 10 things that Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos have done at this football club and then gone back on it. So I don't know how you can trust them. I don't know how you can be behind them, because everything they do, they go back on. 3 years for Amrin, 3 months sacked. We're backing Ten Hag, 300 million, 3 months later sacked. Dan Ashworth's the best director of football in the world, sacked. It's just a long list of... Oh, I'm gonna employ best in class. He brings in Jason Wilcox. Like, it's... I'm sorry you're a Glazerite, Robert. It's sad because you're somebody I respect. United are a factory of producing yes men in bulk, says Amit. Lone Kone keep Malasia, Wilcox at the wheel, says One Inch Wonder. Watch us sign another Amrabat after this World Cup because he had one good 90 minutes against a World Cup favourite, says Jid. And watch us miss out on the targets mentioned and sign Goretzka on a free. Thank you very much. I think I've already done that one. We only wanted a single loan deal, nothing major, says Michael Wright. Yeah, I mean, mate, I was there at the end of the window saying sign Ndidi. That's how shit the situation was. And they didn't even do that. Salah was older than Kone when he played in Switzerland. At least Kone will play in the Conference League, says Lucho. So you're now comparing Salah to Kone. God, another Glazerite in 4K. Remember the days where Nani, Fletcher, Park and Anderson were bench players? Who of that calibre do we have now to put onto the change the game? When will the owners realise that we need a squad? Well, they've got to realise we need a first team first. Ray says they are lies. The board is all this talk about Kone only to be loaned to a Swiss team is despair so much. Well, I mean, Ray makes a good point as well. Like, they bring these young players in, like Kone and Obi, and people start going on, and Leon, and they start talking about, oh, they'll be ready, they'll be ready. I mean, I mean, if I could be asked, we could pull up receipts. We sign Kone, he's going to be ready. We sign Obi, oh, he's going to be ready. We sign Leon, oh, he's going to be ready. And then a year later, they're being shipped out on loan. They know when they're further away from the first team than when we signed them. And you wonder about all these young players they're buying. Like, there's another lad coming, isn't it? Is it Arosca? The next Caicedo? Oh, he's ready. Probably be loaning him out in a couple of years. Okay, right. Thanks everyone for tuning in this morning. Fantastic show. Interesting stuff, as always. And probably not surprising stuff, but fair play to David Ornstein for actually putting out some journalism. That's why he's one of the best. You know, the reality bite of it not potentially being a crazy summer, and, you know, actions will speak louder than words. I'm sure the usual suspects will start putting stuff out about Elliot Anderson and everything because that's what they've been told to do. But thanks everyone for watching. 7 o'clock show tonight because I'm doing Chelsea Arsenal second leg of the Carabao Cup, which I think will be a good game. So hopefully Garnacho will start so Timber can bully him. No, actually, I think I'd like Chelsea to win. So hopefully Garnacho won't start. Anyway, we're back at 2 as well. Stay safe. Take care. I'll speak to you on the next one.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.